And welcome to this new episode of Room Techers. Supposed to get you guys this episode with our guest coming on. But we did not yet on Sunday. We were a little banged up. Some things were happening. Did not work out for the best. So we're going to try and get our guest at some point this week on the show for the second guest after following a great interview that we did have with Elliot Holman. Got to talk about some really cool topics about the MLS, which we will get to. The finals for the MLS Cup are set, and pretty excited about that game, not gonna lie, which is kind of unexpected for myself. But today we're gonna do a quick little episode talking about some EPL games we got, where the tables stand right now. Got some Champions League talk as well, and the MLS Cup, like we said. But the bigger story coming after this past week was that the World Cup groups were drawn. Again, we had Mickey here live tweet that event. I don't know if you guys saw that, but if you didn't, check us out at Twitter at Room Temp Show for those updates. Talking some World Cup, I mean, we got the seeds finally done. We had said it before that second pot was arguably just as competitive as the first, and now these teams are set. So
it got me excited. I mean, I was really sad going into that. The Russian opening ceremony was kick-ass. Like, they had people Cossack stepping and dancing, and I was so excited, and then I got really sad when I remembered that the U.S. wasn't in it. But between Gary Lineker chirping, like, Cannavaro and Maradona, and just seeing how some of these groups came out, I'm back on the hype train for Russia 2018.
Yeah, I think there's no when you talk about a group of death, I don't think that there's any standout where you're like, holy shit, you don't want to be in that group. There's some close, to me, there's two in my head if I look at this, the potential for that group, being Group F, Portugal, Spain, Morocco, and Iran. I don't think Iran really has a shot to make it through. They have a potential to be an upset with a draw against
Iran's
one of the bigger teams.
Screw Morocco in like a really competitive game.
You think so?
Yeah.
But like Morocco also has a potential to screw one of the upper teams too. I don't know. We'll see. And then I have the Group F of Germany, Mexico, Sweden, Korea. And that South Korea, the good Korea, was drawn as that fourth pot in that group. So I think that group is just – I think Mexico and Sweden, I put almost at the exact same level as one another.
And Korea always shows out in the World Cups. So
they have a few good teams where – they have a few good players where you're like – especially Heung-min Son, where you're like, oh, like he's definitely dangerous on the wing. He's the guy we really got to worry about. So I think that those are pretty good
I couldn't shut up about Group H. I think that that group's going to be just really fun. All those games will be must-watch. Maybe Colombia, some people would say, is a dark horse to win the whole thing, but just as far as parity goes, all four of those teams are about the same, that B-plus level.
Yeah.
Those, like, four stars. Poland's got Lewandowski, Senegal has Mane, Colombia has James. Japan always has a good team.
Okazaki's pretty sick too.
And then
Poland, obviously Lewandowski. But that's a really competitive group.
Yeah, those games should just be fun.
And I think Group D too, you're looking at Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, Nigeria. Other than I am interested to see which Argentina we see in this World Cup. If it's going to be like the one we saw in qualifiers, I don't think it's going to be enough to get them where they were last time. That being said, Lionel Messi is still on that team. And Dybala, and they have that same attacking prowess where you're looking at it and go,
is still there.
Oh, yeah. But they got no defense. Otamendi.
Yeah.
And yeah. It worked out for them last time. But all I'm saying is I don't think that's going to work out this time around.
The quality in this World Cup is higher than it was back then. I think that Germany's probably better now than they were when they won it last time. Brazil is looking much better. They're going to be trying to avenge that 7-0 loss. That's definitely going to be in the back of their mind.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm interested to see what Belgium does. People, we've been talking about Belgium since, like, we've known each other about how, wow, they have a lot of really good young talent who plays at a high level, but they just can't seem, they just don't seem to be old enough or experienced enough to reach that real level of competition. Sure, they got to the quarterfinals last World Cup. I keep saying season because it's the same in my head, whatever. The quarterfinal last time after beating the U.S. But you look at the Belgian team this time around, you're like, wow, they have...
This is their third World Cup, though, where they've kind of... when they've been discussed as dark horses. Yeah, it's kind of not up or shut up at this point.
I don't think that they're dark horses at this point. I think that they're just... horses. Like I think that they're old enough now where it's like Lukaku is not 22. He's like, you know what I mean?
De Bruyne is probably a top three player in the world right now.
Like you have the weapons, Mertens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know.
That back line has always been solid. It's never been a problem.
Nope.
Hopefully Vertonghen's healthy.
Courtois in goal, he's playing well this season. I mean they got weapons front to back, and it's gonna be. I think they're gonna play very well. I think they win their group. They have Panama, Tunisia, and England. I love how England's a fourth pot team, but I mean,
they just got seeded into the fourth spot.
They'll be another team to look out for too. They had a great showing in the Youth World Cups this past year. They have a lot of really young talent. They're more of a dark horse team in my head this time around than they have been in the past.
Just saying, I don't have any expectations for England in this World Cup.
No. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, not a bad place to be. A lot of young kids. So, might be a World Cup where there's always been so much pressure on England, as far as I can remember, of the whole golden generation, and then Rooney was supposed to lead them. This time, it's younger. They've been playing together for a long time.
Harry Kane's going
to
lead them.
And nobody really thinks, nobody's talking about England to win the World Cup, so it might be a good chance for them as a group to just go in and be like, all right, we're here. We made the World Cup. I've been dreaming about this since I was a kid.
Is it Roy Hodgson who's their coach, though?
No.
Who's the national coach? Is it Southgate? See, that's been their problem. That's their problem. Whenever I hear about them, that's their problem. It's who's coaching them right now, because a lot of times it comes down to that where you rely on those younger players. Like now you have Sterling. Like, what do you play, 4-4-2? Do you play that 3-5-2 that a number of teams in England have been playing now? Do you put like a 4-4-2 with Danny Sturridge, Harry Kane up top, and then have Sterling on the wing with who on the other side? Anyone on the other side? You know what I mean? Like, how do you play that if you're a coach coming in? Because they haven't had a coach, like they haven't had a systematic coach for a number of years. They've been turning over coaches every couple of years in England.
Man. 4-2-3-1, I think, and that's how you get everybody on the field. You need Kane on the field. You need Sterling on the field. You need Ollie on the field. Adam Lallana hasn't been playing because of the injury, but...
Yeah.
I mean, when they're healthy and when they're looking, they should be trying to get as many of their players on the field as the same exact time. Forget that 4-4-2 nonsense. I mean, do they really have out-and-out wingers anymore? I mean...
No.
People can play there, but you're not doing them any favors.
No, it's either outside, like it's left or right forward, or you have outside back wing backs now.
And nobody's really playing a 4-4-2 with their clubs anymore either.
Nope.
This isn't a system that they're used to. Soccer's moved on from you've seen some teams have some success with it, like Burnley, and it's more in a league... Not a group full of internationals. That's not what you should be trying to do right now if you're England.
No, and then speaking of Burnley, they're still sitting in that competitive position in the way that they've been playing this season. They're sitting at 25 points, tied with Tottenham, actually. Speaking of Harry Kane, they're tied for sixth right now. We've spoken at length about them before. Sean Dyche putting together just a fantastic run this season, and just a very smart team, I'd say, all around built, or smartly built team all around. The obvious...
I'm terrified of their goal differential, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the top, like, it goes goal differential 36 with City, 26, 16, 14, 10, 10, 2.
Yeah, big drop-off.
Big drop-off. They're not scoring goals. They're nearly even on it. We'll see if they can... that'd be sick for them if they could keep that going for the entire season.
I never thought... What was it? I think it was either the past weekend or that midweek game that we saw, those matchups, that Arsenal was playing Burnley. And I was like, I never thought in, like, the last 5-10 years that I was going to be excited about a Burnley Arsenal game, and I was, and it was a good game. Mm-hmm. Arsenal came out on top, I think 2-0, but it was a good game. And you're like, wow, like Burnley reminds me a lot of the Icelandic national team. They're just, they don't score a lot of goals because they are not the most skilled team. They're not even a top 12 team in terms of skill, like skilled players on paper. But they're a very smartly coached team. They're very well organized. They know where their strengths and weaknesses are, and they do a great job of being patient on the ball. And that doesn't always work, as we've seen, but it's a damn good recipe for what Sean Dyche has.
And it'll be interesting to see what they do in the transfer window. Yep. I mean, they are going to have cash. I think that seventh place is still a European spot in England.
At least a playoff.
At least a playoff for the Europa League. So they're a team that should definitely be making a push for it.
And then it's going to be about, I'm interested to see how smart Sean Dyche is and their upper management in actually bringing in players. Because a lot of times they see the money, they bring in like either a young player. This is a really weird, I don't even know if you know this guy, a really weird example. Ramadan Sobi he's an outside winger who's, I'm pretty sure he's Egyptian. And he plays for Stoke City. They brought him in, and I think he's 20. I think they brought him in a season or two ago. They brought him in thinking, like, he's a very technical, really quick outside player, but he's not very physical yet, and he doesn't fit into the system just yet. So you see him play on the wing opposite to Shaqiri. You see him play on the wing, and you're like, oh, like, he's got tons of skill. He's very well skilled. He just doesn't fit into the system yet, and you suffer as a team overall for that. So I'm interested to see if they go with something like that, like young, skilled, because the game has evolved in England even in the last 5 years from less physical. Well, it's still one of the more physical leagues
definitely
in the world.
Definitely an athletic league.
Yeah, but like compared to when I was growing up, it was literally just who can kick the ball hardest and fastest and who's the strongest at your modern day defender has evolved so much to what it was when we were growing up. So I'm interested to see what Burnley does in the transfer window. Sure.
How about Tottenham though? They've kind of slipped up ever since we said that they were going to destroy Arsenal's season.
All because of the Arsenal game.
All
That's what it's been.
The Arsenal game.
Classic Arsenal. That's the most Arsenal thing they could have done too.
Yeah, Arsenal's vying for that fourth spot. My beloved Liverpool's chilling on 29 points, but yeah, Tottenham's kind of lost steam.
Yeah, and I think that it was more people had started to figure them out. They were just this, like, I don't even know exactly what's wrong with Tottenham, to be fair. I think that they've either been trying too many things as a team. Like, you see the way that they play. They're a very direct team, whether it's an outside, you know, counterattack, whether it's a systematic moving up from the defense or whatever, what have you. But they've done a fantastic job of being stopped.
Their last 1, 2, 3, 4 league games. Lost 2-0 to Arsenal, tie 1-1 to West Brom, lost 2-1 to Leicester City. Those goals were gorgeous.
And yeah, they
then
were.
This past Saturday, tie 1-1 to Watford with a red card as well.
Like what? And then you wonder what's changing, and you wonder if it's like a literally just a dip in form thing like we're seeing with Real Madrid, or if it's something else.
Yeah, and their form in the Champions League speaks for itself. They're topping that group by 3 points, I believe, ahead of Real Madrid. But yeah, I mean, when we're used to seeing this, I mean, they just got Lamella back as well, so you're expecting their offense to kind of start almost not just relying on Harry Kane for these goals, but held to one or zero goals for the last 4 games in the Champions League, and before that, in the Premier League, there's 1 goal against Crystal Palace, no goals against United, 2 against West Ham. Now that was the FA Cup. Then they beat Liverpool, but that was before Halloween. So their last massive offensive output in the league was against Liverpool, and then it's been 2, 1, or 0 goals a game since.
And then you have Arsenal, who has been playing better.
Yeah, better.
Better. They lost to Man U, sure. They lost 3-1. And what did you think of that game?
I mean, they got screwed by some not called penalties that probably turned the game. That happens, though.
The
story of that game, though, is David De Gea. That's
yeah. It was funny because I saw a ton all those memes on fucking Bleacher Report afterward, where they were like, "Look, the bus like runs people over too." Like the how Mourinho is stereotypical in parking the bus against the top six.
Parking the bus is having a strong defensive structure and not allowing scoring opportunities. It's not having the best goalie in the world.
Correct.
Have a world, like, I mean, double digit saves. That double save where he got down,
it was ridiculous.
And then he had that kick save that only he does for some reason.
Well, it was like, it was funny because they made it look afterward. They were like, "Look, Man U isn't that team that you guys think they are, where they like sit back against good teams." I was like, they kind of did that. I mean, they just took it.
I mean, well, when they were attacking, they looked great. Arsenal definitely does feel. Arsenal is incredibly unlucky, though, to not get those calls going for them. And then to just have a goalie like De Gea have a day like he did. I mean, I'm taking a look at these highlights, and that Lindegaard goal is a thing of beauty.
Yep.
So.
And they've just had a weird season, Arsenal.
I mean, well, we have said that United does this against bad teams. So, I mean, I don't think Arsenal that great of a team. I mean, they get waxed whenever they play a top four side.
Yeah, I was just about to say, other than Tottenham, their last number of games, they've been pretty on point, I guess, with the way that they've been perceived this season. They lost 3-1 to Manchester City. And then they turned it around the week after and beat Tottenham 2-0. And that was a turning point for Tottenham we've seen so far in the season, where they've had this bad run of form. They lost to FC Cologne in the freaking Europa League group stage, 1-0. Beat Burnley 1-0, which I said was like a surprisingly good game. Then they beat Huddersfield 5-0, which was like, okay, you beat Huddersfield 5-0. And then you end up losing it. Man U. It's like it's up and down for them. It's week to week, and that's got to be frustrating as a team, let alone the rest of their season. I mean, all the other things that are happening in their season.
Ozil's been starting to look like Ozil, though. I mean, he kind of is playing for a new contract somewhere not in London.
I was just going to say.
So I wouldn't be shocked if he just goes on a tear for the rest of the year thinking, you know, I'd really like to be starting at Paris, and I can't be dragging my ass.
I want a higher contract.
Yeah, and maybe I want Chelsea to take a look at me or one of the City teams, or maybe it's back to Spain, but I expect him and Alexi to have a very good second half of the season.
Yep.
And hopefully for Arsenal, it drags them back into a Champions League spot. And
they get a shitload of money for them.
But they won't because they're both going to walk, so Arsenal, looks like you guys are spending money next summer. That's something to be excited about.
Right now, the bigger story has been the same. Man City, 46 goals and 10 against in 15 games. That's averaging over 3 goals a game this season. They've only had one draw.
That's true, but I think as far as I can tell, the last 2 or 3 games have been nail-biters for them. They've been leaving it late. Raheem Sterling is turning into the world-class player that half of Liverpool fans claimed that he would never be. The other half, the smart half, knew that we were letting something go that we should have tried much harder to keep a hold on to. I'm just looking. Man City 2-1 against West Ham. 2-1 against Southampton. 2-1 against Huddersfield. 2-0 against Leicester City. So, I guess it does show that they're winning these close games and they're winning it playing a very good style of football. Props also to the rest of the teams in the league who can actually play them this tight.
Well, it's the same with most teams where you look at the most impressive teams are the ones who can keep up a streak of wins. Like they've gone 15 games undefeated in this season. So like the reason that it's so impressive is not only that they're getting wins, is that they're able to still strategically beat teams in those tight situations, you know what I mean?
Are people talking about that yet?
What?
I mean, the whole Invincibles in 2004.
I don't think it's close enough yet.
We're nearly halfway through the season.
No, I know. It's not close enough yet, dude.
Oof.
I think once
it's getting there.
I think once we hit 25 games in the season.
I think once we get through that holiday schedule.
Yeah, you pass Boxing Day.
Which will probably be 25 games because they fit a disgusting amount of games.
In December? Oh my God, it's ridiculous. Then you got Man City sitting 8 points clear of second place Manchester United.
Leading up to this week's Manchester Derby.
Which is going to be pretty, pretty annoying to watch, I guarantee it. I think that we're going to see more of that parking the bus. I think you're going to see Manchester United's going to surprise people. They're going to do one of two things. They're either, it depends on who gets the ball first, and I don't remember where it is or who gets it first, but I could see Manchester United pulling some shit where they go straight off the kickoff and attack like crazy for 10 minutes.
That first half, and then lock it down.
And then you just lock it down. If they don't score in the first half, I don't see Manchester United playing an offensive game in the second. I just don't see it. They play such a safe style against those teams that I guarantee Mourinho will be more content with
Pogba
a draw.
No Pogba either with that red card.
Yeah, I guarantee you.
Oh, Jesus, this game's going to be awful.
I guarantee you that Mourinho is way more content with a draw against Manchester City than he is risking a win.
Yeah. Help us, Man City, your only hope.
I really, really want Man City to win, actually. Yeah.
Something reminiscent of those like 5-0 hidings that Barcelona used to give Real Madrid when he'd play Hakka Messi with Pepe, and they'd still just blitz him for six or seven goals.
I'm hoping for like a hat trick from Gabriel Jesus and everything else.
Everybody.
Everyone gets a hat trick.
Strictly Kevin De Bruyne assists.
Yep. Those low crosses at hip height are just glorious that you can't teach.
Yeah. And definitely the lesser derby that's going on this week is the Merseyside one between Liverpool and 10th place Everton. Everton have already gone through a coaching change.
No more Ronald Koeman.
Spent a gangload of money in the offseason.
Yeah, it was panic spending. He knew he was on the way out. He knew he had to make a change, and that was what I was talking about with Burnley.
Yeah,
they got rid of Lukaku. He was over on Man U. They had the money. He had one of two options. He could have brought in another big name striker, and no big name striker was going to go to Everton. Or you build it. Yeah, right. So what he did instead was, let me build a team, or what I think is a team that we can build around for the years to come, starting with a legend like Wayne Rooney. So I understand where his head was at. He just did it in the wrong way and got the wrong players.
You got to hope that Rooney gets you through those first 2 years and keeps you in the top 10.
Yep. And I don't think he will.
Yeah.
They're sitting at 10 right now with a 1-point lead and a -6 lower goal differential than 11th place Southampton, who's 1 point behind them, and Brighton, who's -5 goal differential and 1 point behind them.
Yeah,
so
their December isn't looking exactly like Liverpool, Newcastle, Swansea, Chelsea, West Brom, Bournemouth, United.
They could take a couple
out
of that.
So, I mean, if they even go 50-50 on that.
It's a good month.
That's a good month for them. Rooney looks like his score. I mean, just coming off that hat trick, what are your thoughts on goals from half field?
Overrated? Yes.
Very overrated.
It depends. It is. And it's because it doesn't. You as a team didn't do better than the other team by getting that half field chance.
I think it's sick. I mean, it's cool when it happens, but I was watching a replay of it and the announcer said, immediately in goal of the year, a contender for goal of the year. And I was like, no, that's wrong.
How many players do you know that? How many times have, like, even we
think
played
about it?
Like,
that's just a 50-yard pass to a 12-yard area.
Yeah. So I'm saying we could do that. Not very often, but
I'm not getting it high enough to get over those freaks of a Premier League goalie, but
no, but you know what I mean. It doesn't require, especially all things considered, as a professional soccer player, it's not that impressive.
Volleys inside the box, 1-2s on top of the. On top of the box, solo runs.
So we got
all
the,
better.
So we got the Manchester Derby, Merseyside Derby. I think Liverpool wins that one.
I think they're gonna win that.
Chelsea is sitting in between Man U and Liverpool. Liverpool in fourth. You got Man City, Man United, Chelsea, 3 points ahead of Liverpool, who's 1 point ahead of Arsenal, who's 3 points ahead of Tottenham and Burnley. So that's your top seven right now. Watford, a surprise eighth to me.
Yeah. Well. That middle of the table, all those teams are really. They all have offensive quality. Their defenses are So-so.
Yeah.
Midfields with varying creativity and motors.
And ages. Like, there's a lot of old players in that mid of the table who are like...
journeymen, solid professionals.
Yeah.
They're going to be getting checks for a long time.
Yes. Like, high wages, low...
But not even, I mean, but it can't be understated at how much it means to stay in the Premier League every single year.
Oh, right. Agreed. Like, John Walters for, like, Stoke. He's not, like, you would...
Peter Crouch is still getting checks.
Yeah. Sorry. Like, that's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. So, we got those games coming up.
Who's Chelsea playing?
I think it's West Ham. We play West Ham.
West Ham's not looking... Yikes, what happened?
I know.
What happened to them?
After Payet had that season, dude, that was about it.
In fifth 2 years ago.
I'm interested, actually, in this. Like, I think that this Swansea-West Brom game will be a good game. I always like watching those games.
You were talking about last place Swansea?
Oh, yeah.
Sitting on 9 points, that
one. Yeah. They're gonna do really well against West Brom. That's my prediction.
Let's go Swans.
Poor P. Craig. Yep, poor P. Craig. Shout out, P. Craig. On a different note, we got Champions League final games of the group stages. Only one group stage. Those games coming to you tomorrow. And some important ones, not for anything. I'm pretty pumped about my Chelsea team sitting. We're making the playoff, which is great. We're sitting 2 points ahead of Roma, 2 points ahead, who are 2 points ahead of Atleti, so 10-8-6. Chelsea plays Atleti, who's in third, and Roma plays Carabag, who's only sitting on 2 points in last place. So, basically, for Atleti, who had a very poor first three games of this group stage, they need to win tomorrow against Chelsea, and Roma needs to tie against Carabag, and they need to have a higher goal differential to go through. So, it's a really important win. I mean, like I said, Chelsea can... be second. Like, if Roma wins tomorrow and Chelsea loses, it's just 11-10 Roma-Chelsea, and Atletico's not even, no prayer for them to get in. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But it's going to be weird to see no Atletico. I can't remember, what has it been, 4 or 5 years now where they've made the knockout stage?
Yeah, but we knew that was going to happen going into Group C. That was definitely the group of death.
Yep.
Just scrolling through these again. If you had high hopes for Monaco and Leipzig, you might have thought that one was it as well, but... They just haven't been the same, and that's a hard group.
Yeah.
There's no real shame in coming in third there. They haven't been embarrassed or blown out.
No, not at all.
I mean, they have a positive goal differential. I mean, they haven't been outclassed or anything like that. It's just one of those years. But then throughout the rest of the table, I mean, the United CSKA Moscow game could have huge implications.
Yep.
I mean, United could not be going through if they lose tomorrow.
Same thing with and Napoli also. Napoli sitting 3 points behind Shakhtar.
Wowza.
Yeah, down behind Shakhtar, but it's 1-2, 3-4. So Man City against Shakhtar, Napoli against Feyenoord, who's in last with 0 points. So that's like odds wise looking good for Napoli to win that game.
City's probably starting. I mean, they're definitely rotating.
Yep. This is your day to get like Phil Foden, yes. Brahim Diaz into those games.
What a shame, because Napoli was so fun to watch.
Well, if Napoli wins, Shakhtar has to lose and Napoli has to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if those games are on Wednesday or if they're on Tuesday. They're both on Wednesday. So Wednesday we'll be able to, you know, we'll have that final. Barcelona Sporting. Bayern, or Juve, Olympiacos play tomorrow. That's another little shake-up group. You got Sporting sitting with 7 points, at plus one, and Juve with a zero goal differential with 8. So Juve needs to win this. Barcelona needs to either draw or beat Sporting, and Juve needs to draw or win against Olympiacos to win. So that's weird for us, too. We've talked Serie A before, how Juve hasn't been doing as good as they have been in recent years, even though they've gotten two good new players with Matuidi and Douglas Costa signing.
They've been creeping up the table, though. They're only 2 points behind first place Inter Milan,
okay.
1 place behind Napoli. So I think that they're going to...
They'll be just fine.
I mean, it's been the most competitive year in recent times.
Yep. And then you have the Liverpool-Sevilla group.
Yeah, Liverpool should just be able to get the job. They're playing.
Are you playing Maribor?
No, they're playing Moscow.
They're playing Spartak Moscow.
In Liverpool. So,
if Spartak wins and Sevilla loses or ties, Spartak goes through. By the way, Sevilla is 2 points ahead of Spartak with, and Spartak has +3, Sevilla at zero.
If Sevilla wins and Spartak wins, I think Liverpool still go through with their goal differential after that thrashing of Maribor, which
correct.
Is a nice insurance policy. But looking at the teams that could be finishing second and the teams that could be finishing first, Liverpool needs to just shut this one out.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's going to end up being one of those things where you guys win your group and Real Madrid gets your fucking draw in the playoff and they end up going second against Tottenham.
Yeah, bring them on. Bring them. Let's go. Those are the games I want to see Liverpool playing in Europe.
That group's also interesting. Not for who's going through, because Tottenham and Real Madrid are going through because Borussia Dortmund and Applewell both have 2 fucking points, which is just mind-blowing from a Borussia Dortmund perspective, who just has shit the bed in this Champions League season. But not for anything, they could be an upset team for Tottenham, who they play on Wednesday, I believe, of this week's games. Oh, no, it's Real Madrid-Dortmund. Okay, so it's Real Madrid-Dortmund and Applewell against Tottenham. So that's a little bit better from Tottenham's perspective. All they need is a point to win the group.
Yeah. I mean, this just really hasn't been Dortmund's year either. They're sitting in sixth right now on 22 points. A long ways away from Bayern, sitting on 32.
Marco Reus got hurt again. They lost Ousmane Dembele, obviously, at the beginning of the season. I can't remember who else is injured for their team, and I think that Tuchel just plays too many. He relies in a very interesting way, a developmental way. He relies very heavily on so many young players, which is really good from a developmental perspective, and they play very well. It's just a fantastic 17-year-old is nothing for a Bayern team or a Leipzig who's very organized. So they have the chance to be an upset team. But I don't think they have the potential this season to do it.
It's true. Also, we got rumor mill kicking up nearly that time of year.
It's that time of year. We're gonna do it.
Aubameyang's going.
Yeah.
Because Sturridge is on the way out.
Yeah, obviously, he's going to Liverpool.
Obviously, Liverpool.
Obviously.
Obviously, we're gonna make that late year push. Chiefs and Man City. Wait, we didn't even talk about the best game of this week, Champions League wise.
Oh, that's right.
Bayern PSG, which obviously. Two heavyweights of Europe. You should be able to watch this on FS1. Oh, wait. No, you can't because we need to watch Barcelona play Sporting Lisbon for some reason. You have probably the... Neymar is playing tomorrow. He's probably going to win the Ballon d'Or this year. Bayern Munich. Why? Why, Matt?
I guess it's because it doesn't matter.
It should, though. These are the games that you want of somebody who's home early from work on the East Coast of the States to be flipping through, go to FS1, and see these two teams playing.
Yep.
He doesn't need to see Lionel Messi tool on some team from Portugal.
Maybe they do.
No, they don't. It's just, that game's going to be kick-ass.
It is, really, and it was pretty disappointing last time from a Bayern perspective, seeing them.
I want to say that was one of the first games of the match, though. Ancelotti was still coach.
Mm-hmm.
Bayern wasn't Bayern, I think.
I still think that PSG wins this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. But I think it's going to be a lot more competitive.
Yes, I agree. I think it's a testament to the way PSG has been playing, and also to how much we've seen Bayern slip in the last couple of years in Europe.
Yeah.
Bayern, like, that's something that I haven't seen as much this past year and toward the ending of last year about how they've been, like, when I look at Bayern, I think, sure, top 10 team in the world, but I look at them and I go, 8, 10, no 7 to 10 maybe?
No European success under Pep.
No.
Not under Ancelotti.
And they haven't won a Champions League since, what, 12, 2012?
Their current coach, I always butcher his name, begins with an H.
Hex, or yeah. Was it Hexnes?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whatever.
You're the Germans, so Heineke, that's on
whatever.
You.
Whatever.
But really, I mean, just going back to PSG is more must-watch television than Barcelona is now.
Right now? Yeah. Absolutely.
That front three is stacked. That midfield is as talented as any midfield in the world with Rabiot and Verratti and Thiago Motta. And then that back line has
Thiago Silva.
The best center back in the world. We've been banging that drum like yep. everybody else.
And they have a really talented young goalie in Areola.
Yeah.
He's like 23. He's very akin to Ederson for Man City.
And at this, I love Messi, but at this point, that front three
is better.
That front three of PSG and the front three of Barcelona, it's not close.
No,
right now. I mean, Messi's dragging
De La Feo and Suarez,
and an aging Suarez. Suarez is nearly 33 now. I mean, he had a good run.
Yep. And Messi's supposed to be approaching that. I'm gonna slide back to a center attacking midi role, and he can't.
He didn't get the memo. I mean, I think that he has been.
And he signed a new contract.
He's been a little cold recently. He started the year off going on that goal scoring tear, but that's tapered off as well.
Because he normally at this point gets like a billion assists, and he can't right now.
Just saying, we shouldn't be watching that game tomorrow.
No, I agree. Fucking read something that Manchester United are interested in signing Leon Goretzka from Schalke. And it's interesting because
Liverpool and so is Arsenal.
It's interesting.
So is Juventus.
It's interesting because I think that he would fit so goddamn well out of all of those on Man U.
But I want him more than you. So, Einstein, Liverpool, got the German coach. If they get him and Chiesa coming in next year into that midfield.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
That would be
awesome. How often do player trades actually happen in soccer?
Not that often. And they're never with big stars.
Never. That would be pretty cool.
We just read a rumor where Barcelona is set to offer.
I love rumor season, yo. None of this shit's going
to set to offer Arda Turan for Mesut Ozil plus some money. Yeah. Other way around.
It's got to be coming from Barcelona as well.
Yeah. So that was one rumor. Man City set to sign Alexis Sanchez, apparently. But whatever. Those are all rumors. But
I like rumors only when they're involved with my team.
So we'll see what ends up happening with the Champions League. We'll be either live tweeting, we'll be doing another Room Techers sometime this week, hopefully the weekend maybe. Not really sure. But domestically, we got the MLS playoff or the cup final
this Saturday
at 4 p.m. December 9th. The Toronto FC versus the Seattle Sounders. A little bit different of a team that we're seeing this time around. Seattle Sounders have Clint Dempsey back. That's a big, big difference for this for Toronto to have to plan for. We'll see exactly last season. This is a little bit of a revenge opportunity for Toronto. They ended up losing in PKs to the Seattle Sounders in what we have already said was one of the more brutal games that we have ever watched. But nonetheless, it's going to be a good game. Seattle this past season, they brought in Bruin, Rodriguez, and Jovan Jones. And they moved him farther up the pitch than he had been playing before. They're more dynamic in the attack. So it changes the mentality that Toronto has to have coming into this game. Seattle, to me, Toronto actually are sort of the gunslingers of the MLS in my head. They had like one of the highest point totals in recent memory in the MLS regular season. But Seattle Sounders, also a fantastic team. They've got the experience in Clint Dempsey. And I just think that this game is going to end up being, first of all, I think this game is going to be much better than it was last year. But what are you thinking?
I think that there's a whole lot of pressure on Toronto to win this year around. I mean, last year they performed all throughout the playoffs. They had that insane two legs, I think, against Montreal. I think it ended up being 7-5 on aggregate. It was an absolute goal fest. They couldn't get anything going last year. And this year, their coach has won Coach of the Year. They had the highest points, highest goals, highest everything. I think, and that's not taking away from Seattle. And I think that Seattle should probably feel like a little bit slighted with all this hype going to a team that they beat last year. And meanwhile, they've been running through the playoffs. They just totally dismissed Houston.
Yep.
Blanked him on aggregate.
5-0.
5-0.
Houston, who had come into that game with like a crazy high clean sheet streak. I think it was like 500 something minutes.
Yeah.
And they've been playing fantastic defense in the back. Their goalkeeper had been lights out. So for them to just pull a five nothing victory over them in the semifinals of the cup, conference championship is pretty impressive for them. So
I'm really just hoping for an entertaining game. Last year really turned me off to the MLS, and thankfully I got to watch more of the playoffs this year, and I did get to see more of the quality, more of the goal scoring, and just the creativity that I enjoy in the other leagues, along with the physicality that is allowed here.
Yep, and I'm also seeing more and more of the potential for growth in the MLS. I don't think there's too many leagues right now where I look at and go, wow, this league in the next 5-10 years has the potential to be one of the better leagues in the world than the MLS. Do I think they're even close to that right now? No. But in the next 5-10, I mean, look at where we've come in 10 years. From 10 years ago to now, like, the average age for international players coming in the MLS has dropped by like 4 years, which, like, before it was like, oh, sure, David Villa and the Pirlos are coming here, and the Kakas are coming here at the age of 35. They're coming here to retire, to basically be player coaches. Now you have someone like, Giovinco now I think is like 31, but when he got here, he was like 28. And you're seeing a lot of younger players come here now because it's a better league. It's a more competitive league. And Elliot Holman, who came on the show last time, was talking about the potential for these bigger clubs in England, like Tottenham and like the Manchester Cities, who owns NYCFC, to use those as like a conduit for their youth players. And I think that's a really, really, really cool system if that ends up coming to fruition.
I'm not even thinking that big picture right now. I just want an entertaining game on Saturday. Like, I want to see free kick goals. I want to see the creativity
that
Seattle had going forward. I mean, even if it does end 1-0, but it's a nail-biter back and forth. We saw last year where it was just buried in the middle of the field with sloppy possession, and it looked like, I mean, just amazing lack of technique.
Their passing accuracy must have been under like 70%.
It was painful. I was almost watching it as like a penance for something that I had done. But
what's your if you're gonna make a prediction for the score?
Let's get wild. Let's go 4-2 Toronto.
4-2 Toronto. 4-2
Toronto with a late goal to really put the game to bed, with Seattle rushing forward trying to force its extra time.
Play Italy on Germany in the 2006 World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that, oh man, I think I want Toronto to win more than I want Seattle to win, but I think that Seattle is this underrated team coming in this game. And they're not really underrated. I just think that people rate Toronto very high because of how well they did in the season. So I think I'm actually going to take Toronto in this one. I think I'm going to take them 2-1. I think Clint Dempsey has a great game. I think the organized defense is just a little bit too much for Altidore, and they keep keep Giovinco to one goal.
Yeah, and it's going to be off a free kick, and it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, going to pull Coutinho and go right under the wall.
I think you have to be Brazilian to do that. It's part of the contract.
But we'll see. I think this week we're going to try and get John Krasinski. He's the founder and writer for the Pittsburgh Soccer Report. He also covers the Pittsburgh Riverhounds and the USL for DK Pittsburgh Sports. And we tried to have him on earlier this week, and that was our fault. We were just a little banged up, little tired from this weekend and some other stuff going on. So we figured we're going to try and get him sometime this week. Hopefully he's able to come on and speak with us about what he does for a living and his thoughts on the USL. And, you know, we're also going to try and talk a little bit more about this election. Oh, by the way, Gulati is not running.
Thank God.
So that's I'm not going to get into that too much.
Way to read the crowd, dude.
Yeah.
Like, get out of there. You probably have millions of dollars stashed in various islands across the world, allegedly.
Allegedly. Never convicted.
No. Nothing
but
like that.
But that's about all we got for you guys today on this episode of Room Techers. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter machine at Room Temp Show, or check us out on our website. We got our little section for Room Techers right on the side. All you got to do is click to it. Brings you right to iTunes. Make sure you guys subscribe, download our stuff, share it with your friends, because tell more people. Thanks for listening, guys.
Retweets, guys.
Stay toasty. Hit the day head on.
Bye.